Good afternoon, House Transportation Committee. Before we get started, I'm going to double check my phone is on silent and not vibrate. That is correct. I'd like to go ahead and call the House meeting of, or the House Transportation Committee to order at 1:02 p.m. today. It is Thursday, April 8th. With us today are Representative Drummond, Representative Hannon, and myself, Chair Hopkins. Hopefully we get some other members to join us here soon. Assisting us today, I believe Representative Sponholz is wrapping up her Ways and Means Committee and will be joining us via Teams when she's available. Assisting us today is our recording secretary, Jamie Buhner, and our LIO moderator, Doug Bridges. Thank you both for your help again. I'd like to ask those participating remotely, to please mute your microphones when you're not actively speaking. I believe most of you who are calling in today are only by phone, so that applies to you with the muting on your phone as well, but we should make it work. Representative McKay has joined us. Thank you very much, Representative, for swinging by.
Yeah, thanks.
For those of us listening at home, information on the issue of ATVs and all-purpose vehicles using the public roadways can be found by visiting akleg.gov and finding today's hearing under the Daily Schedule tab. Are there any questions so far? I don't see any. Today we will just be taking invited testimony from municipal leaders regarding proposed regulations 2021-200079. On behalf of the House Transportation Committee, I would like to sincerely thank all of you local officials for participating today and making yourselves available so that we can get some more voice onto the public record for opinions about these regulations coming out and how they might impact your local municipality. With us today, we have five different municipalities and all of their mayors. Mayor Rodney Dial of the Ketchikan Gateway Borough, Mayor Bryce Ward of the Fairbanks North Star Borough, Mayor Alice Ruby of the City of Dillingham, Mayor Jim Matherly of the City of Fairbanks, and the city manager, John Moosey, for the city of Palmer. Thank you all for joining us today, and thank you, Representative Kronk and Representative McCabe, for joining us at 1:05. We have some scheduling issues, so we're going to go first with Mayor Dial from Ketchikan and Mayor Ward from the borough of Fairbanks, who have hard stops soon. So we will take their testimony first and ask them some questions to allow their full participation. Are there any questions from anybody who swung by today? All right, looks like we're good. First up, we're going to have Mayor Rodney Dial from the Ketchikan Gateway Borough. Mayor Dial, are you online?
Chair Hopkins, yes, I am.
All right, thank you very much, Mayor. Please put yourself on the record, state your affiliation, and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Hopkins. Good afternoon. My name is Rodney Dial. I'm the mayor of the Ketchikan Gateway Borough. I'm calling it today to provide comments on the proposed regulation changes regarding the use of ATVs and snow machines on certain roads. But before I do need to add a disclaimer that although my comments are based upon my knowledge as mayor and from my 25 years as an Alaska State Trooper, the KGB Assembly has not considered this topic, and the following comments should be considered as my own personal thoughts. I do not know if they would approve or disapprove. So having said that, Chair Hopkins, would you like me to just kind of go into my comments?
Certainly, Mayor. I appreciate that disclaimer, and we're here to hear from you with your state trooper background and your local government background. And, of course, if you do wish to supply official comments on these regulations, that this is not the correct venue for that. It would be done through the regulation comment options through the administration. I just wanted to make sure that was clear, too. Go for it, Mayor. Please provide your concerns or whichever way you feel about it and questions, and please provide your testimony.
All right. Thank you, Chair. So as a former state trooper and at one point the detachment commander of both C detachment, which is Western Alaska, and then A detachment, which was Southeast Alaska, I've worked in many small Alaska communities all across the state, so I can certainly understand the reasons for this regulation change. You know, if you look at many of those small locations, it's far cheaper and easier to ship in ATVs. Additionally, many of those locations, those vehicles are more suited to the limited roads and rough terrain. I would also notice that that many of those small communities are exempt from mandatory vehicle insurance requirements, and the inability to ensure their on-road use is really of little concern in those locations. So for areas such as the Kedzie Gateway Borough, I would assume that the citizens would probably prefer to keep the status quo regarding keeping these vehicles off the main roads, but they may welcome the opportunities, including the economic opportunities of allowing their use on remote, unimproved roads. So we do have a major road that's been under the works for many years out here. It's called the Shelter Cove Road. That'll essentially allow us to access the back part of the island. And so I know that there are different tourism opportunities in those regions. So there is the possibility that this regulation change would, you know, foster some economic opportunities. So in that regard, it could be a positive thing. But ultimately, because the ability of the local municipalities is there to make these decisions in this regulation change, it really minimizes most of the potential negatives while allowing specific authorized uses and areas to be approved for non-traditional motor vehicle uses. So for those reasons, I have no objections to this regulation, and I really feel it empowers local government to approve ATVs and snow machines on the road when it's appropriate for those areas. So I thank you for your time, and if there's any questions I can ask, I'd be happy to do so.
Thank you very much, Mayor. I just want to note for the record that Representative Sponholz joined us at 108 via Teams. Welcome, Representative Sponholz. Representative Hannon had a question for you, Mayor.
Brief at ease.
Mayor, just give us 1 second here. And so we had Representative Hannon had a question for you, Mayor Dial.
Thank you, Chair Hopkins. Mayor Dial. First, I'm going to ask a question based on your experience as trooper, and then I have one for you as mayor, and that Shelter Cove Road in particular. So we have heard that, but we could not get it confirmed, that the Alaska State Troopers have a non-pursuit policy if they are pursuing someone on a snow machine or an all-terrain vehicle, off-road vehicles. In your career as an Alaska State Trooper in diverse parts of Alaska, could you give us a little more edification on what that pursuit policy is or was at the time of your working, and what that, how that translated into your day-to-day work?
Yes, Rep. Hannon, through the chair. So that policy has actually evolved over many years. So I retired about 5 years ago. I started in 1989. And I can tell you that there was a time period, probably in the mid-90s, where there was a number of high-profile crashes across the country where people were being chased for minor traffic violations or minor issues, and it resulted in the death of an individual. So over the years, a policy developed, and the policy initially was that once a pursuit was initiated, the supervisor would be immediately contacted, provided with the information, and unless there was a real justification to continue that pursuit, it would be discontinued. I believe that has continued. As far as ATVs and vehicles such as that go, that has always been my understanding, that because of the higher risk of pursuing somebody on a motorcycle or something like an ATV, you would really have to have a pretty substantial justification to do that. And I'm not saying it's prohibited in every circumstance, because there's certainly cases in which an officer could make a reasonable argument that he's doing it to protect the life of another. And, you know, those would be exemptions, of course. But that's generally the procedure at the time that I left, and I think it's pretty similar right now.
Thank you.
Follow up.
So slightly different set of questions. You're as a borough mayor, Ketchikan Borough, in some analysis that we have, defaults to the current state law for any off-road vehicle use on roadways. So right now that's banned. The proposed regulations would include that you become, quote, street legal, you know, that an ATV would need to have blinkers, windshield, insurance, registration to be used. in the circumstances in the Ketchikan Borough that you were contemplating, would that enhance the ability for a tour operator to do it, or would you as the borough view it as something you could regulate without the state having those? I have a mayor in Ketchikan that they, or not in Ketchikan, excuse me, Skagway, where they allow ATVs on some very specific roadways already to access a trail system, and they don't require those street legal provisions. So their concern is this would restrict their ability to do what they do now in using ATVs in parts of their borough. So for you as borough mayor, would you contemplate that it would allow you to have more latitude to allowing them, or, but since you mentioned the Shelter Cove Road that we're all looking forward to viewing, give me a little more thought on that.
Thank you, Rep. Hannon, through the chair. So the way we kind of look at now is that you're correct. We generally follow state law and refer to state law. So the way we kind of look at it now is that the use of those vehicles on roads within the borough is illegal. What I would envision that might happen if this change were to take place is that we would pass an ordinance that would essentially say that that there's a mechanism by which somebody could make a petition to the borough to ask for a certain area or a certain roadway to be exempt. And, you know, and then it would be brought to the assembly. The assembly could consider it. And because, my guess is that we would want to maintain the status quo that we have right now. But I do know there are just so many different opportunities out there for small businesses regarding tourism, and hopefully that's going to come back next year, that I just feel that, especially in those remote areas, this might be an opportunity, and it might be the justification that we would use to allow their use.
Right. Thank you.
Certainly. Any other questions for the Ketchikan mayor? Mayor, this is Chair Hopkins. I do have one question. Currently, the regulations are an all-in or all-out sort of setup. Would it be more, is that less amenable to you and your borough as opposed to if they change the regulations after the close of the public comment period on the 18th to allow different options and more customization by local municipalities?
Chair Hopkins, that's a good question. I've really not considered that, to be honest with you. If we looked at this, we just really saw it as it allows the borough more latitude, but then it also allows us to maintain the status quo. So that's the best way I can really put it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. There can be any changes after the 18th by the administration, and we'll just make sure that they've heard that as we move forward, and you still have the opportunity to submit public comment if you want to make sure that those get onto the record. So any questions for Mayor of Ketchikan at this time? All right, seeing none, Mayor Dial, thank you very much for your time today and for your input and for your work down in Ketchikan and as a state trooper across Alaska. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Next up, we will have Mayor Bryce Ward of the Fairbanks North Star Borough. Mayor Ward, are you online?
Yes, thank you, Chair Hopkins. This is Bryce Ward with the Fairbanks North Star Borough. Thank you for committee members to be able to provide some testimony today on the proposed regulation changes for ATV and RV use on local streets. I would like to note, as Mayor Dial had mentioned, the Fairbanks North Star Borough has not taken an official position on this, so I speak on behalf of the administration. For the Fairbanks North Star Borough, our assembly will be taking up a resolution considering these changes on April 15th in order to provide comment before the period ends on the 18th. So what I would like to speak about, again, on behalf of the administration today, is the regulations and how they would potentially impact the Fairbanks North Star Borough being a second-class borough. Recognize that some of these changes may make sense in a more rural setting. Most of my comments today are going to revolve around the urbanized setting, particularly in the Fairbanks area. The second-class borough, Fairbanks North Star Borough, the second-class borough, and we do not have police powers, or we do have limited road powers that are restricted specifically to our road service areas, of which we have just over 100. Those road service areas do not necessarily have enforcement capacity outside of our code enforcement officers for dealing with things like encroachments or abandoned vehicles, but they're not equipped to be able to handle issues of motorized use on those roads. We rely on the troopers for that. We have I have concerns about the safety for our existing vehicles that are on the road, as well as the ATV users with this change, particularly, again, in our urbanized setting. The Fairbanks area has two cities. We've got North Pole and Fairbanks, both home rule cities within the Fairbanks North Star Borough, but much of the area around the cities is urbanized and is built up and not considered rural. And so areas of College Road, the University, West Fairbanks, Western Badger Road and North Pole, and then areas just outside the outskirts of the city all have very much a city feel to them. And would be outside the ability for the borough to regulate the use of ATVs or RVs on those streets should this regulation go into effect. There's also concern that I have in regards to the MPO and the use of federal highway funds here in our community. The Metropolitan Planning Organization, FAST Planning, which is our planning arm here in the interior, spans the boundaries of both the cities of Fairbanks and North Pole and much of the urbanized area outside of the city still within the borough and is primarily funded through federal highway funds. And so there's definitely a concern about the impact that this would have on our ability to continue with projects and continue to get that work done through our local planning organization. Again, I make the comment that this would could potentially make sense for non-urbanized areas, but for the urbanized areas, particularly with second-class boroughs that do not have road or police powers, it appears to be problematic and from a safety perspective, and then also that federal highway use dollars perspective. That's what I have. I thank you, Chair, for the ability to provide comment today.
Thank you very much, Mayor Ward. We have a question from Representative McCabe.
Thank you, Chair Hopkins. Mayor, I'm curious, you mentioned federal highway dollars. Is there something that you're relying on to say that federal highway dollars will go away or MPO dollars will go away simply because we allow four-wheelers or snowmobiles on the trail?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Through the chair, I don't want to make the statement that they would go away, but there is concern in regards to the funding that we do receive and how that is tied to safety improvement projects and projects that would improve the safety of our overall network. At this point, we're unsure what these changes may mean to the local funding streams that we have particularly relied on for those programs.
A follow-up from Representative McCabe.
Thank you, Mayor. So I'm still unclear. It's just your opinion yet that you think it might be affected, or it will be affected, the federal funds, because we allow a different type of vehicle on the road that maybe get some MPO money. I guess I don't know what you're saying. You say you think it might be affected. I'm just not real clear if there is some sort of document that says it will be affected, or some sort of federal document that says you can't use ATV or snow machines on a road simply because it has federal funding associated with it?
So this is a topic that's come up in discussions with our MPO. We actually have a meeting scheduled for Monday of next week to go over the ramifications or implications of the changes, particularly in regards to the funding. So at this point, I don't have an answer. It's been brought up as an item of concern that we're going to be taking up on Monday in our local meeting.
Follow-up?
Thank you. Through the chair, if you find something, would you email it to us, to Chair Hopkins, and he'll get it to the rest of us, I assume? I mean, if you come across something, because I don't recall seeing any of that in the I'm not familiar with the MPO in Fairbanks, but in the Anchorage MTO. It's I don't recall seeing that, so just a curiosity more than anything.
If you do, Mayor, you can give me a call and we can talk about it and make sure that we get any information out to the members of the committee. Last week we received, Tuesday, for the hearing, we received an email from the Department of Transportation that says, and this quotes, these regulation changes would not be prohibited by Federal Highway Administration. FHWA only requires states to track accidents and meet performance targets to maintain its funding support. FHWA can also require states to submit corrective action plans if states do not meet their targets. So there could be concerns there based on what DOT said about maintaining what they're calling funding support from FHWA, or we'd have to require to either change what our target goals are for safety on our highways if we don't meet what we laid out in place. I'd be happy to supply that you with that, Mayor, for your meeting on Tuesday, but it is also on the document section. Mayor, are there any other questions for the Fairbanks Borough Mayor? Mayor, I have a question. This is Representative Hopkins. In terms of your municipality and having the city of Fairbanks within its borders and the city of North Pole within its borders, so you have three different governments within your borders, and Mayor Matherly is here to speak later. How do you see that planning working if different municipalities select different opt-in or opt-out levels with these regulations?
Yes, thank you, Chair Hopkins. As we look at this, I guess it would really be up to those individual jurisdictions for setting of those regulations and then enforcing them. The city of Fairbanks and North Pole are far enough apart that I believe that they do have different regulations for some of their side streets and such as now. The main concern that I have on behalf of the borough is for the urbanized areas between those two boundaries and the ability to provide oversight over those roads. So I think it could be a little bit problematic if you've got essentially three different sets of standards, but that is possible.
Thank you very much for that, Mayor. Representative McCabe has a question.
Thank you, Mayor. Don't we have three, through the chair, sorry. Don't we have three different sets of regulations right now? You have the state regulations that the troopers enforce in the urbanized areas of the North Slope Borough, and then we have Fairbanks and we have North Pole. So we have three different regulations right now, right?
Through the chair, yes, that is correct, that there are three different sets of regulation. It's my understanding, though, that primarily if the cities are doing enforcement, they're doing it off of the state books for those cities, unless there's a particular nuanced aspect for their jurisdiction.
Certainly, and we do have the city mayor up later if you want to follow up and ask how they enforce those rules and how they work off those books. Thank you, Mayor Ward. Doesn't look like we have any further comments at this time. I appreciate you making time today in your schedule, and thank you again. And you're off the clock.
Thank you.
Next up, we have the now I lost my script. We have the next mayor who's here today to speak to us, and that is going to be Mayor Alice Ruby of the City of Dillingham. Mayor Ruby, are you online?
Yes, I'm here. Am I coming through okay?
Loud and clear, Mayor Ruby. Thank you very much. Please go ahead and put yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
All righty, thank you. Yes, this is Alice Ruby, the mayor of the City of Dillingham. I appreciate the invitation today. I'm going to speak to you about the proposed changes on the use of ATVs and snowmobiles on roads in the regulations of the Department of Public Safety. And again, thank you for letting me speak. And I want to say thank you for your service. I think right now elected officials probably don't hear that enough. So I'm speaking on behalf of the city. The council hasn't taken formal action on this regulation, but I want to confirm that we've taken action to address ATVs and snow machines in Dillingham. So my testimony is really based on the action we've taken. We can't support the change in regulations. The residents in Dillingham have been very vocal about avoiding ATVs, snow machines mixing with vehicle traffic on our primary streets. Our concern is primarily about safety. We know and we acknowledge that the ATVs, the all-purpose vehicles, and then regular motor vehicles cannot safely mix on primary roadways. And unfortunately, we have experience with that. So just a brief description, Dillingham is a hub in western Bristol Bay. We've got about 2,300 people population, but at any one moment, there are always many times that many people in the community. During the winter months, it's mostly regional residents who travel to Dillingham to get services through the health corporation, to shop, they purchase and take fuel home. They pass through to catch planes to Anchorage or back to the villages. During the summer, it's mostly resident and non-resident commercial fishers and also recreational users. So there are many lodges that work in the area and then the processing plants. Our city is spread out over about 36 square miles, and we have about 40 miles of road within the city limits. About 15 miles of those roads are state roads, and about 25 miles are city roads, plus there's another 15 that lead out of the community or located just outside the community. In our community, the state's roads happen to be the paved roads. There are two lanes paved, pretty good condition right now. We also have an excellent series of pedestrian trails that follow the main roads. The state roads in Dillingham are the primary transportation corridors. They connect the health facility with the airport, with neighboring communities, and with downtown. In fact, the state road runs right through downtown business district. The city streets, most of which are gravel, all feed onto those state roads. Currently, all of the roads in Dillingham are restricted to 45 miles per hour or under. So this regulation would actually affect all roads in Dillingham. The snow machines and ATVs are really widely owned and used in our region and in Dillingham, some for recreation, but for the most part, they're really the workhorses. People use those to do subsistence. They use them for recreation purposes, and our neighbors use them to really access Dillingham during the winter months. Across the wide open spaces that we have, we do have great expanses of open country. In the summer, we see more ATVs that are really used in the coastal areas for both recreation, but also for as the workhorse again for commercial fishing, for subsistence, accessing remote areas. In our case, it's not at all unusual to see a line of snowmobiles, snow machines, we do call them too, coming across the flats on the way to town with sleds behind them that, access services and then leave town in long chains as well. The city of Dillingham has supported that activity. We recognize the value of it, but also have enforced prohibiting that activity on the main roads. And we've kind of done it through both planning and enforcement. We try to design places where snow machines and ATVs can cross the road safely, and we encourage that. We also have allowed ATVs to traverse along the side of the primary roads. It doesn't make DOT very happy because it erodes the shoulder, but it's the compromise that we've come to. We've also allowed ATV use in some of the side roads, the city street. We've allowed that with restrictions, and the restrictions being that passengers and any minors operating those vehicles must wear helmets. They have to maintain speed limits, they cannot create traffic hazards, and they generally just have to behave on those streets. And we have enforced that, and we've held parents responsible, and we've issued citations. In this case, I believe these regulations will create problems for us in areas where we've pretty much already established solutions, and that is on the main roads. The current state law supports our solutions because it really supports that prohibition of that traffic on our primary corridors. and we would like to preserve that. Again, our concern is safety. We don't believe, and our residents have said it many times, that mixing those types of vehicles on a primary roadway is safe. I listened to the hearing on Tuesday, and I heard some discussion about whether this might be a rural-urban situation, and could it be designed to fit a category like that. I think that's not the case. Obviously, some of the urban communities have neighborhoods with rural feel and a rural lifestyle, and certainly in rural areas, we have some neighborhoods that are more urban in feel. The example being our primary routes are very busy. I don't know the actual traffic count, but because they are the only route between two areas of high use, the routes are busy traffic, and we can't really define those as being rural in some category. We also think using the qualifier of roads with speed limits under 45 miles per hour is not a good qualifier because, again, that affects all roads in Dillingham, even though some of our roads are very busy. I don't believe that using the term paved and unpaved would be a good definition. And so it does seem as though there needs to be a better definition of what roads would be available or not. And if there are specific problems that need to be solved, then maybe more study needs to be put into what those problems specifically are and how could the regulations be changed to fix that. I also think that we would support a change to base it on an opt-in process rather than opt-out. And in that way, communities that are experiencing problems or demands from residents for change can address it as the problem comes up. The way it's designed right now, it's going to drive communities into having to deal with this issue now. And in some cases, there really isn't a need. And for example, in Dillingham, there's not a demand. But when the demand arises, there would be that option to act on it. I think, too, one of my concerns is many of our communities, especially in my region, are completely exhausted from dealing with COVID over the last year. And adding an issue like this to what we're already going through just becomes another exercise in contentious situations that I'd rather we not deal with right now. Lastly, it maybe sounds minor, but it's big for us, is creating that additional demand for Division of Motor Vehicle Services. It would add another difficulty to us. Currently, there's two DMV offices in the region, one in Dillingham, one in Bristol Bay Borough. The city of Dillingham subsidizes the DMV office in Dillingham, and what we've been hearing is DMV, you know, is looking at maybe reducing services. So creating more demand on a system that's actually being talked about, you know, with reductions just doesn't really make sense. And that isn't the kind of service that can be accessed online. You can't take driver's tests and get vehicles checked online. So that is going to become another challenge for us, especially in an area where, again, ATVs and snow machines are so widely used, and probably few of them are actually registered, and I'm sure almost zero have insurance. So just creating additional demands. So that's the end of my comments. I, again, appreciate you allowing me to be here and appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Let's see, we have one question from Representative Hannon.
Thank you, through the chair. Thank you, Mayor Ruby. We've got a little bit of data provided to us in a grid form of local governments who have already exercised some control over snow machines and ATVs on their roadways. And yours is pretty detailed, but one of the categories on this data grid is speed limit, and all it says is less than 20 miles per hour. So can you tell me, is that in Dillingham, do you only allow it on roads where the speed limit is less than 20 miles per hour, or those vehicles must be going less than 20 miles per hour?
So I don't recall the city. It's been a while ago since we established our practices, so I'm not sure. But what I can say is that is in reference to the side streets, our subdivision roads, where the roads themselves are designed to be 20 miles per hour or less. So in general, it's both. The subdivision streets are designed for less, or for 20 miles an hour or less, and so we're requiring the operators to operate at 20 miles per hour or less.
Thank you.
Follow up.
The state regs are being put forward using a 45 mile per hour threshold as roads that would be allowed on. Do you allow? Are there any roads that have up to 45 mile per hour in Dillingham that you are allowing ATVs and snow machines to operate on?
No, would be the short answer. We do allow the snow machines to cross the roads on those ones that are 45, and we do allow ATVs on the primary corridor to operate on the shoulder of the road.
Thank you, Mayor.
Mm-hmm. Representative McCabe, you have a question?
Yes, sir.
Go for it.
Through the chair, Mayor, so you just said on the shoulder. Didn't we have a discussion last week about the difference between the shoulder and the ditch? So are you saying that the ATVs can operate on the shoulder of the paved road?
We're allowing that. Now, there is, I wish I had written it down, we require a distance from the paved surface. And I can't remember, I apologize, I can't remember what that distance was, but as long as they're some distance from the paved surface of the road, then we allow them to operate on the shoulder.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Any other questions for Mayor Ruby of Dillingham? Seeing none, Mayor Ruby, thank you very much for your time today and letting us know how this would or would not work well as proposed for your community. Very much appreciated for you coming out today.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Next up, we will have Mayor Jim Matherly of the City of Fairbanks. Mayor Matherly, are you online?
Chair Hopkins, how are you guys doing down there today?
Doing well today, Jim. Thank you very much for calling in. Why don't you go ahead and please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Absolutely. Thank you. This is Jim Matherly with the City of Fairbanks, here to provide some thoughts and concerns regarding proposed changes by the State of Alaska to Title 13 and the Alaska Administrative Code to allow use of ATVs and snow machines, snowmobiles on public roadways. First of all, let me go ahead and echo what's already been said this afternoon. On Monday, the City Council has a resolution that has been prepared before them to take a stance on this. I've heard most of them have shared some thoughts publicly. I've heard them around town, so I'm going to speak on behalf of myself as mayor and the administration in the city. I'll just run through some bullet points that show up on the resolution. And Mayor Ward spelled out a lot of this pretty well for the City of Fairbanks, because right now in the City of Fairbanks, we don't have any city-specific laws or regulations regarding snow machines and ATVs, snowmobiles. We go by the state rules. And it turns out a lot of those folks who speed around town, if they do, they don't like to stop for the police. So if we do manage to catch them, we do state violation citations. We don't think it's a good idea for the City of Fairbanks to mix those two. We also sent a letter on April 5th to the Director of Alaska Wildlife Troopers expressing concern as well for the proposed changes. ATVs and similar vehicles are not equipped with sufficient safety equipment, including personal restraints and adequate directional lighting. Also, we're concerned from a public works area, because we do public works in the City of Fairbanks. Snow removal operations use large equipment, as you know, like graders, blowers, dump trucks, Those can be hazardous to motorists who follow too closely or perhaps try to overtake the equipment. There's a very public safety concern. Both the chief of police, Ron Dupuy, and the chief of fire, Todd Chambers, have also shared these with me. They're very concerned on the safety thing. Safety should be paramount. Drivers of ATVs and snowmobiles may not be accustomed to following the normal traffic laws, which would also increase traffic violations and accidents, and more traffic and parking enforcement would be needed. That would add a whole new layer to that. If they're allowed to operate on the roadways, the vehicles, of course, should be registered and insured like any other vehicle. And of course, Mayor Ward said a little while ago that on Monday they're having a meeting of the FAST Planning Board. I'm also on that same policy committee as Mayor Ward. We'll be taking a stance. I know they're not wild about it. You know, a couple of years ago, we had a committee that was under the auspices of the city, the Public Safety Commission, and this subject had come up even back then. It was pretty unanimous. I think there was only one person on the entire board that thought this was going to be a good idea for the city, and most everybody said no. And also, because we're a city tucked inside of the borough, the opt-out thing would be very wonky. It was a lot like mandating the masks earlier this year. The borough can't. We can. We could opt out. My understanding is the borough could not. And how do you manage that? Because we're right smack in the middle of it. It would make enforcement of it impossible, in my opinion. I'm not sure what Mayor Welch does out in North Pole. I know they're more, you know, rural out there. I heard a question earlier about, isn't there separate things now? Yes, that would be the case. We just don't have a lot of them speeding around Fairbanks. Occasionally we will. The police just can't seem to catch them. They've got our hands full. And keep this in mind, too. The borough doesn't have any police power or anything like that. And even though we're a city of 30,000 roughly in the city, we're never 30,000 people. We're probably 40, 45 every day and more in the summertime. So if this thing is passed, it's going to just increase a huge amount of work on the police and the fire. I believe there will be lots more accidents. That's just how I feel. I know the administration feels that way. And on Monday night, the council is going to weigh in, and we'll have a resolution by then. And I'll be able to share that with you, Representative Hopkins, and let you know where we stand. If we think it belongs in some areas of the state where they depend on it, no doubt about it. I don't think it would mix well in the Fairbanks city limits.
Thank you, Mayor Matherly, for... Oh, sorry, did you have more comments?
No, okay. I just cleared my throat. Sorry about that.
No worries. Happens to the best of us. Thank you, Mayor Matherly. We do have a question from Representative McCabe for you, Mayor.
Thank you. Through the chair, Mayor Matherly, I think Section 78-578 of the Fairbanks Code talks about driving motorized vehicles in certain areas is prohibited. Wouldn't it be very easy just to maybe amend that code to make driving ATVs inside the city limits prohibited, similar to my hometown? I don't necessarily know how it would increase your police. You already say that the cops have a hard time catching them, so it's already an issue. Wouldn't it be better just to have the state have the city resolve the issue instead of have it be a state issue?
Yeah, that makes sense, too. Thank you, through the chair. I was just talking to Chief Dupuy before I got on the line, because we don't talk much about ATVs and about the snow machines in the city. He just told me they do it through the state violations. So I'll go back and read that and study that with the chief.
Thank you.
What you're saying makes sense, yes.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Any other questions for Mayor Matherly at this time? No, but I don't see any here. Mayor, thank you very much for coming in today. And as you have the resolution in front of you at the City Council and at Fast Planning regarding these specific regulations, I urge you to make sure you look at the definition that they're putting forward for the vehicles that are proposed under these regulations, an all-purpose vehicle, and the various types, so we're not just including ATVs or off-highway vehicles or something like that, but you're using the correct terminology to address what the regulations are proposing.
Very good, Chair Hopkins. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much, Mayor. At this point, we have one more testimony from the city manager of Palmer, Mr. John Moosey. Mr. Moosey, are you online?
Good afternoon, Chair Hopkins and House Transportation Committee. My name is John Moosey. I'm the city manager for the city of Palmer, and I'm here to address the ATV snowmobile use of public roadways. Through the past, I've had numerous conversations with then-Senator and now-Governor Mike Dunleavy about the relationship between formerly the Matanuska Citizen of Borough when I was there and the city of Palmer. He consistently has stated that many of these issues should be addressed at the borough level or the city level and should not be relying on the state of Alaska. Issues such as school bond debt reimbursements or assistance for road construction. So in that vein, with that being consistent, the city of Palmer would very much like to have in the bill that all public roadways within the corporation limit are determined by the city. Our elected officials here in the city of Palmer, we think, are capable of doing that. They are the front line. And we understand this may be a very good bill for 90%, maybe 95% of the state of Alaska, but we're all kind of different. And so we certainly believe it's very important that we can determine that issue for ourselves. That's my statement.
Thank you very much, Mr. Moosey. Just to, for clarification purposes, we're not dealing with any bill or legislation here. These are regulations put forward by the administration. So with those comments and those concerns, if you would like to voice those to the administration, I recommend you submit those as official public comment to the Department of Wildlife Troopers in the Division of Administration. And I'd be happy to supply you with that information if you would like me to after this meeting for those that contact information. We have a question from Representative McCabe.
And thank you. And through the chair, John, it's Rep. McCabe here. So doesn't Palmer already regulate off-highway vehicles through Chapter 10 of your municipal code?
Yes, Representative McCabe, we do. My concern as manager is going to be is the city of Palmer right now has city roads and there's state roads. We would like to make that ATV snowmobile decision within the corporation limits, whether it's our roads or state roads.
Follow-up, Representative McCabe.
Thank you, Chair Hopkins. Mr. Moosey, so you're saying that the Palmer Police Department does not enforce any municipal code on state roads that go through Palmer?
We enforce under state road and regulations. My concern is going to be that we cannot determine issues for state road and highways through the city of Palmer.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Moosey, similar to as I voiced for Mayor Matherly, if you are taking any action on this or discussions within your community, make sure you're looking at specifically what type of vehicles would be addressed under these regulations. So it's not just ATVs and snow machines we're discussing, but it includes the all-purpose vehicle definition. That is substantially more expansive than ATVs and snow machines. Do you have any other questions for Mr. Moosey at this time? Seeing none, Mr. Moosey, thank you for your time today, for calling in from the Valley. And at this time, we have no other presenters today. And do we have any questions from the committee as we move forward? All right, thank you very much. So there's no further additional questions or comments here today for the officials. And as there's no further business before us at the committee today, we're going to go ahead and adjourn at 1:53 p.m. Thanks, everybody.